Praise God. I just want to come around the word of the Lord this morning. And so we had a fantastic time at the conference. It was an awesome time in God. And Pastor Fuwe gave an excellent session about the Father's house. I want to talk a little bit about the Father's house today. But if you haven't read the front of the newsletter, don't get it out and read it now. Read it after the service. But it talks in there about some of the things that Pastor Fuwe brought to us about the Father's house. It says in the Father's house, Pastor John summarized it for us, there's protection in the Father's house. There's always love, discipline, care, provision, peace, transparency, fellowship, relationship, joy, guidance, respect, forgiveness, repentance, maturity, and change. And so there's lots of wonderful things there. So if you missed that session, if you're a young person, then that was for you. If you missed that, if you're a young person here, then you need to listen to that session. I think it was about session 3, I think it was. Session 3, a very powerful session. If you're a parent, I suggest that you listen to that session if you missed that session. If you're a grandparent, I suggest you listen to that session. It was an awesome session. And so I commend that to you about being a parent. And particularly on Father's Day, we want to think about being a father. You want to be a good father. Then I'd listen carefully to what was spoken about there. But I want to talk about the Father's house. 3 times in Scripture, Jesus spoke about the Father's house. And I want to have a look at those 3 references that Jesus gave when he was speaking about the Father's house. Just remember, Jesus was obviously very intimately connected to his Father in heaven. And he modeled that for us, that we might have that same intimate relationship with our Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians 6:18, it says this, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What a wonderful promise that the creator of heaven and earth, that in a click of the fingers we've all gone, in a thought and a flash, we could never existed, nothing could have ever existed. But the one who created heaven and earth, most awesome Father in heaven, he says, I will be a father to you. And that's a wonderful thing to us remember. We have a Father in heaven who loves us, and a wonderful promise. But I want to talk about these 3 instances where Jesus talks about the house. First, I want to talk about the precedence of the house, or how important the house is, his Father's house is, the purpose of his Father's house, and finally the priority of the Father's house. And so I want to have a look at a story in Luke chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If you've got an iPad, if you know how to use it better than me, you can get it. Oh dear, self-destruct, sequence activated. Still trying to learn how to use this. There you go. I have done the self-destruct sequence, I think. Here we go. There we go. All right, let's have a look at the scripture, Luke chapter 2. And I want to read from 41. This is when Jesus is 12 years old. And in this story, we see that Joseph is still around. His father's still around in his life. We know at the time of the crucifixion, Joseph is not there. So we can only presume that Joseph had passed away. But certainly for the first 12 years, the very formative years of Christ's life, that we see that Joseph was on the scene. That's very important as parents that we're there, particularly in that first 12 years, the most critical stage of our children's lives that we want to impart into them. And as grandparents, those first 12 years are the critical times to be imparting into them. But from verse 41, in looking in Luke chapter 2, it says this. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. I don't know if as a parent you've ever had that. You think your child's with you, and you walk around, you go on a few shops, and they're gone. And it happens, doesn't it? Well, they were unaware of it. Verse 44, thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. So for a whole day, they're walking on the road. Now, that wouldn't have just been just the little family of Jesus and his brothers and sisters and the parents. There would have been the aunties and uncles and the nieces and the nephews and the cousins and everybody. It would have been this massive procession of people that are traveling there. And so for a day, when they did not find, they traveled for a day, verse 34, then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, probably getting around the end of the day. Come on, we better find Jesus. He better come now. We're going to have some dinner or something. They began looking for him around their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, so just imagine that. You just assume that. I don't know if it's a parent. You thought, I thought he was with you. No, you were looking after him. No, I thought you were looking. No, he was with you. I thought you were looking after him. Have you ever had that with a parent? As a child, I think we left one of them at church once, didn't we? I think we did. I don't know. Mary was saying no, I think we did, but I don't know. None of them are traumatized. I thought he got in the car with you. No, he was going home with you. Whoops. So for a day, parents, they're suddenly probably frantically running backwards and forwards trying to find out where their children are. And if you've ever lost your child, I remember when Joshua was one, so that was when we first came to the church. He was three, was he? Wives always correct their husbands. You notice that? Do you have that, husbands? They remember dates and things. We're not very good. But apparently when he was three, I remember we went to the Brimbank Festival. I think it was the first one that they ever had. And they were there at the puppet show. All the parents were sitting outside. They had some chairs and tables and stuff for parents. And there must have been about 150 kids all jammed in the middle there, all watching this puppet show. And so we're there, and yeah, little Joshua's in there and watching the puppet show, whatever. And, you know, we're sort of talking a little bit, not overly fascinated by the puppet show, but he was going for it. But anyway, there's hundreds of kids. He's right in the middle of them. Anyway, the puppet show finishes. Everyone claps, whatever. All the kids get up and disperse. He's vanished. Joshua was gone. And we just couldn't believe it, because the distance would be from where I am probably to maybe the back row, about that sort of distance. So, I mean, we were there. All of a sudden, he wasn't there. So we were looking around for him. We looked everywhere. All those people in the church there, we're telling, the word sort of spread amongst the church. Joshua's gone AWOL, he's gone. And we're looking right across all of Errington Reserve. So we're going, you've got a few hundred metres of stuff everywhere in all direction. Finally, so we're just praying, Lord, help us to find our boy. We've lost our son. Anyway, we found him. He was there watching the I think they were African drummers all going for the drums. Joshua's there, little eyes popping out of his head. But that was maybe half an hour tops. One might have even been 15 minutes. I don't know how long it was. But when you lost your child, you can become a little bit, you know, some mums after 4 seconds are hysterical. And as a parent, you know, as fathers particularly, we see that responsibility. We have a responsibility to protect our kids and to look after their kids. And I can imagine Joseph as a father really feeling it, you know, I'm responsible for my family, I'm responsible for son, I don't even know where he is. So after one day, they have to go back to Jerusalem. Now remember, Jerusalem's a big city, it's a crowded city, but this is the time where they're gathering together for the festival of the Passover, and there would have been lots of visitors there, lots of more people than normal would have been there. That city would have been jam-packed, people moving around, coming and going everywhere, and there's a little lost 12-year-old boy somewhere in the city who happens to be called Jesus. So when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to find him, verse 45. And after 3 days, now can you imagine for 3 days not knowing where your child is? Now we've had on the news, you know, recently there was this little child that was lost, and praise God they found that child. But the mother was just totally frantic. 3 days in a crowded city looking for your child. And I can imagine Joseph, and I can imagine Mary, just everywhere they could think of, looking around the whole city trying to find their little boy. Little Jesus, their son, trying to find him, walking around everywhere. For 3 days, they couldn't find him. After 3 days, though, they found him. Where did they find him? In the temple courts. They found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Amazing. This little boy is only 12, but he's hungry to know and to the things of God and to talk there. And everyone who heard him, verse 47, was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his poor parents saw him, now they would have gone everywhere. Where would you look for a 12-year-old boy in a city? Now they've got no computer game shops, so they couldn't have been there looking at Xboxes or whatever. But where would you go for 3 days looking for your son in a massive town? They probably tried all the markets. Maybe Jesus was there. Maybe he was going to the carpentry shops there because his dad was a carpenter, and you know, they would have probably tried everywhere they could think of. Where would our son be found? Where could I find him? For 3 whole days, everywhere, frantically, anxiously trying to find their son. And after 3 days, they find him in the temple, and everyone is just in awe of his answers. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and answers. So Jesus interacting with these teachers of the law. And Jesus has incredible understanding at his age. And when his parents saw him, verse 48, they were astonished, think, what are you doing? Where have you been? How would you be, parents? I know that some parents, you know, their child's lost. I would hope that you'd run up and give them a hug and say, oh, praise God, you're okay. Some parents go, where were you? What were you doing? And the poor child goes, I think I'm going to run away now. But so the parents were saying to him, his mother said to him, son, why have you treated this? Why did you do this to us? Why have you treated us like this? So Mary, as a mother, an anxious mother, and I'm sure her father says, your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. So we have it. They were anxious, all right. They were looking around. They knew Jesus was their son as any parent, but they also knew he was a very special child. They already knew that. And they're anxiously searching for them. And Jesus gives this incredible answer. He says, why were you searching for me? So why did you have trouble finding me? And he says, did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? Did you not know that's where I had to be? And so his parents have spent 3 days running around looking at the markets, looking at the shops, looking at the carpentry place and looking at all the pig animals, all the animals, looking at the pigs and all those things, thinking Jesus as a 12-year-old boy might be running around doing a whole lot of other things. There was only one thing that Jesus wanted to do, and that was to be in his father's house. It says they did not understand what he was saying because he's a 12-year-old and they didn't quite understand why would a 12-year-old be so hungry for the things of God. Even though they'd heard, they saw the wise men came and they had the angel came and spoke. Firstly, the angel came over Mary and overshadowed her. That's how she became pregnant. And then the angel comes and says to Joseph, don't put her away. What's happened is because of the Holy Spirit. They had all that. They had kings coming and giving them gifts and they still didn't really quite understand what he was saying. But Jesus, it says, verse 51, that he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. This is amazing what has happened. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. But that's the first reference that we have to the Father's house. And it's amazing that this little boy, Jesus, that's where he wanted to be. Parents being parents are anxious. We want to know where our kids are. We have a heart for our children, and certainly his parents, they had that heart. The thing is that Jesus says, well, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I would be in my father's house? A little young boy, there's many distractions for a little young boy. There's certainly many distractions for us as adults as well, many things that could take our focus and take our attention. But to me, this really says right from the very beginning, this first mention of the father's house, it really shows to us how primary, how important, how essential it is, the Father's house. My question is to each and every one of us is that where will you be found? If someone wanted to find you on a Sunday morning, where would they normally look for you? Would they find you in the Father's house? Is that where you're found? Or is maybe that you get caught up with a whole lot of other things? And we can. Jesus could have got distracted. He could have run off. A little boy, 12-year-old boy in this giant city with all the colors and all these things. There are many, many things that could have taken his attention, many things to distract him. But he wanted to be in his father's house. He saw the priest, the importance. It was the most important thing was to be in the father's house. So where will you be found? Are you found in the father's house? And there was a joy in that when Jesus says, this is where I had to be. Where else would I want to be? There's nowhere else I'd want to be. Where do you want to be on a Sunday morning? Is there anywhere else you want to be? Is it the Father's house primary in your heart and in your life? And certainly for Jesus it was. And he's giving us example. We want to be like Jesus. And he says, that's where I was. I wasn't lost. You didn't have to look for me. If you want to know where I was, bang, this is where you will find me, in the Father's house, because that's where I need to be. That's where I want to be. And he wasn't there because of he had to be there. He could have gone anywhere. But his heart was to be in the Father's house. In Psalm 122:1, it says this, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I just trust that's your heart when you get up on a Sunday morning and you don't think, oh, man, I should have gone to bed earlier last night, or, oh, look, I'm just feeling a little bit weary today. I'm not feeling 100%. Maybe I should do this, or oh, I haven't done the mowed the lawn, or I haven't done this, I haven't done that. And maybe some other things can come into your heart. But I trust that your heart is when you wait. So no, I rejoice and I want to be in the house of the Lord, because that's the most important place where I want to be. I want to be amongst the people of God, but I want to be in the Father's house, even as Jesus had that heart. That's where he wanted to be. I rejoice. There's a joy and anticipation as we come and gather together. And in Psalm 26:8 it says, Lord, I love the house where you live. I love the house where you live. The place where your glory dwells. I love that, Lord. I love that place. I love the place where you dwell. And I encourage you that you love your church. Do you love your church? Do you love your home? We've got a great building, but we don't love the building. We praise God for the building, but you love your church. You love your church family. Do you love your church? Do you want to do that? Do you want to be with your people? Do you love your own home? Do you love your own family? Love your family. Love the family that God has given you. They may not be a perfect family. And the reason they're not a perfect family is because you're there. Because I'm there. Because we know we're not perfect. But we love our natural family God has given us. He's given them to us. He chose us. He put us there for a reason that we might reach Him. Love your own family. I trust you do, but love your church family. Love your church. Love coming together. Love being with your people. The priority of coming together. Hebrews 10:25 says, put it this way, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So it's easy to form a habit. We never want to get into a bad habit. But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching, the day when Jesus is coming back. And Jesus gave us that wonderful example of how he could have done anything in those 3 days. It could have been anywhere, but he wanted to be in his Father's house. We can do anything on a Sunday. You can be anywhere. Plenty of things to do. We've got a big city full of things and plenty of things that we can do. But let's say, no, Lord, I'm going to honor your house. I want to be in your house, Lord. I love your house. I love your people, Lord, and I want to do that. That's, Jesus gave us that example. It says that when the parents said to him, come on, Jesus, time to go home, it says he was obedient, and that's a great example to us as well. Parents who were able to give direction to their children and the children obeyed, Jesus obeyed them. He went with them. But there was something awesome about that. Love your house. Love your church. Be found in the house. Be found in the house. Don't go missing. Don't be lost. Be in the house. Be a part of your house. And not a duty, but a real joy, something that you love doing. But also, when we're talking about the house of God, we know that we're not really talking about coming to a building. It tells us in Acts 7:47, it won't come on the screen, but it says that God is not someone that is going to dwell in a house made by human hands. But actually, we know that God dwells within the hearts of men. He dwells within our hearts. And as Hebrews 3:6, which will come on the screen, it says, for Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are His house, if we indeed hold firmly to our confidence and hope in which we glory. So there's a wonderful, do you love your brothers and sisters? Do you want to be with your brothers and sisters? Because we're the house, we are the Father's house. He dwells within each and every one of us. And as we come together, God dwells within us and among us as we collectively gather, corporately together. And so love your church, love the people within your church, love your Father's house. Jesus said about the Father's house, don't you know that's what I'd be, because I love being with God's people. I love the people in my family, in my church family, my own family. I love them dearly, but I love my church family, and I don't want to be there. Just imagine in your own family, if one of your kids just doesn't come home one day, just didn't come home. And where would you be as a parent saying, hang on, where were you? Oh, sorry, Mum and Dad, I was a bit tired at school, and so I just didn't feel like coming home today. I'm sorry, I just had to sleep at school. And as parents, you think, what are you doing? Where are you? You belong in the home. That's where you have all these things. This is where you have protection, love, and discipline, and care, provision, peace, fellowship. All these wonderful things are there. And so let's not go missing from the house of God. Let's not go missing. Let's, in our own home, let's just love and appreciate the family that God has given us. I want to have a look at the purpose of the house. Because this is another time, the second time when Jesus talked about the Father's house. And it's found in John chapter 2. So let's just read that together. John chapter 2. And we'll read that scripture together. Now this is when Jesus is coming up to the time where he's getting fairly close to the time where things are all beginning to happen, and right, his ministry is really just commencing, really right at the start. So things are beginning to really happen for him. And he comes into Jerusalem, and then there's this very dramatic scene that unfolds. So John chapter 2 and verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, so he'd been there when he was 12. He's coming back now later on. Presumably, we might have gone there other times as well. But when it was time for the Jewish Passover, this is time when his ministry is being established and rising up. And then Jesus went up to Jerusalem. When Jesus gets here, he sees something that troubles his heart. Something stirs within him, a righteous indignation, not just an emotional human anger. So human anger is an emotion that's there because we don't get our own way or we're upset with something. That's an anger, that's an emotion. But there's an indignation, something born of the Spirit of God that can begin to rise up. And when we see injustice in the world and we see things, you know, babies getting aborted and all the things that happen, something in our own spirit rises up and say, no, that's wrong. That is wrong, those things. And when Jesus was in the temple, something rose up in his own spirit. He said, no, there's something wrong here. This is wrong. So in the temple courts, verse 14, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So what they'd done is because the Jews, when they came there, they had to offer sacrifices. And so they had to maybe give a little lamb, or if they couldn't, or give a bull to sacrifice that if they could afford it. If they couldn't, then they could maybe just, if they were fairly poor, they could just get a couple of doves and buy two doves, and that could be their sacrifice if that's all they can afford. So some people saw this was a great way of making money. Almost a captive audience. These Jews that are coming in, by the law, they don't have a choice. They must make these sacrifices. So they need them, and so they're there. Providing a service. No, they weren't. They were extorting them. And they had money changers so that people come from all over the place to go there. They could make money out of them. So he made a whip out of cords, verse 15. That's pretty severe. He made a whip out of cords. And he drove all from the temple courts, both the sheep and cattle. So he's herding them out. They're all stampeding out of there. He scattered the coins of the money changers and he overturned the tables. And to those who sold the doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remembered what was written, zeal for your house will consume me. And so Jesus does this dramatic thing where he just clears them all out of there. Something rises within his spirit and he says, get out of my father's house. This is not a place for you to extort others. It's not a place where you're just going to take advantage of people. And Jesus was upset about that. The house of God is not for that. It's not about taking or extorting, and that's exactly what was happening in that place. And Jesus was very angry at that. As I said, a righteous anger born of the Spirit of God rose within him. But he talks about that. He talks about, you made my father's house a market. And it tells us also in Matthew, but also in Luke's gospel, Matthew 21, it says this, it is written, he said to him, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He's quoting Isaiah 56, verse 7, by the way. It says, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. And so he tells us really what the purpose of the house is. The purpose of the house was not that people would be there to get. And that's what certainly people were. They were there just all trying to get something for themselves. Certainly these money changers were. They're just trying to rip off others and see what they could get from off everybody else as they came in. It's not about that. He establishes when he says, my father's, this is what my father's house is for. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. In Isaiah 56, 7, where he says that, which Jesus is quoting, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. For everybody to come. Doesn't matter what nationality, doesn't matter what your background is. It's to be a house of prayer for all nations. And really that speaks to us that this is a place of relationship. That's what it is when we come together. This is a place of relationship. Primarily it's a place when we come and gather together that we have relationship with our Father in heaven. There's something special about when we gather together and we join our faith together, we put our love together, we pull all of those together, something amazing happens in our worship and praise and adoration of our Lord. This is a place of intimacy with relationship with our Father. But also it's a place of intimacy with one another, a place of relationship with one another. And how precious it is when we make it anything other than that, a place where we have relationship with God, where we're praying in communion with Him. There's an intimacy, there's relationship, there's fellowship with our Father. And there's that relationship and fellowship with one another. When we make it anything other than that, that's when Jesus got the whip out and said, guys, you missed the point. And so not only do we need to value the house, the Father's house, value and love our brothers and sisters. Don't make excuses why you don't come. Come and make it a priority in our lives. But when we were here, We're here not because we have to be, but we love to be here, but because we just want to have what the Lord says. This is a house of prayer. This is where I am going to commune with my Father in heaven. This is a place of relationship, but also with our brothers and sisters, we have that relationship one to another. And it's so important that we have that heart in coming together. And in our own family, that make your house, make it into a home. Don't make it just a place where your family hangs out. Some fathers let their family become a hangout for their kids and their wife. Your house is never to be a hangout. It isn't just where people come and go, and it's actually a place of relationship. And fathers particularly, I appeal to you, make sure your home is that place of relationship. Not just where people come and go and they all just come and hide into their room and they hide. Or, no, I know they've got to do homework and things. Our kids do mountains of homework and things. But this relationship needs to happen in the home. And fathers, let your home be that. Don't let your kids be boarders in the house. Just have family, have relationship. Don't let television be the focus. When you're having your meals, don't sit around the TV and so there's no communication at all. Don't be sitting there with your looking at Facebook and you're looking at your phone and stuff while you're having time. Remember, it's about relationship. Our own family at home, it's about relationship. That's why God related you together. You're related in the home for relationship. That's why you're related. And if you're related and there's no relationship, there's a big problem. Something is out of order. And if we are related and there's no relationship, then fathers, we need to step up. And we need to deal with that. We need to bring healing where healing needs to bring. We need to bring forgiveness where forgiveness needs to come. We need to bring repentance where repentance comes. And maybe our attitude or something, because as fathers we know we can muck it up too. But don't allow that in your home. Allow that in the church of God. We're related because of Jesus Christ. We have relationship because of Jesus Christ. Don't let anything in your own home, but certainly even in the life of the church, don't let anything in to come to divide. It says in Matthew 12:25, it says, every kingdom against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. And Mark 3:25 says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Don't allow division. Don't allow division amongst your brothers and sisters. Don't allow strained or broken relationships. Work through things. Deal with things. But in your own home, don't allow that. You are related for relationship. And fathers, we need to step up in that area where there is broken relationship. We need to be the restorer. We need to be the healer in that area. And I encourage you to do that. I pray that God will give you wisdom even now. Father, I pray right now for fathers, Lord, where there is a brokenness within a household or within a family. Lord, I pray, Lord, that just give them wisdom and grace and the courage, Father, Lord, to step up, Father, and Lord, to bring healing, Lord, to bring forgiveness, Lord, to bring repentance, where even they maybe need to repent, Father. But as fathers, Lord, help us in this area, Lord, to make sure that our house is not a boarding house, but it's a home, Lord. And Lord, it's a place of relationship above anything else, Father. I pray that in Jesus' name. Let your home be that place of relationship. That's why you're living there. That's why you're there for, that you were in relationship one to another. And so it's about relationship, the priority of the house. Be found in the house. Don't be somewhere else. Be found in the house, because that's where God wants us to be. Jesus gave us that example. And in the house, value relationship above anything else. Our relationship within our Father in heaven is primary, that we have that. But also guard and build and foster the relationships that we have one to another, brothers and sisters. Cherish that. Guard that. Don't let anything ever come between that. That's the purpose of the house is relationship. And there's one other time when Jesus talks about the Father's house, and that's found in the book of John chapter 14. So let's just turn there together. John chapter 14, and let's just read this. It's the first four verses, and quite often we hear these verses read at funerals. And it can be encouraging. If someone's given their heart to the Lord, then that's wonderful. But if they haven't, then we just say, well, Lord, I pray somehow, in some way they found you on the deathbed, Lord, at that last moment, Lord, I don't know. But there's something about the house, and there's a task, that there is something that God wants us to do. There is something that God wants us to achieve as we're together in the house. God's heart is that he wants his house to be full. He wants to fill the house. And that should be our aim, is that we fill the house. We see other people coming into relationship with Jesus Christ. But it says in John 14, verses 1 to 4, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And even on today, for some this may be a hard day. These words are for you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. My Father's house, so he's talking about my Father's house, has many rooms, many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. And then Thomas says, I don't know where you're going. And Philip says, well, Lord, show us the Father. That'll be good enough for us. That's when Jesus says, how can you say that, guys? I've been with you. You've already seen the Father. You see me. You've seen the Father. But the promise of the many rooms in the Father's house, and that really just shows me that is the heart of God. He wants his house to be full. And when he's talking here he's obviously talking figuratively. He's talking about eternity. He's talking about many rooms that God has prepared, that he wants to see people come into relationship with him in eternity. And that's something that's got to be the cry of our heart, that we want to see the house full. The Lord's heart is to see heaven full. And our heart is to see this house full. And as this house becomes full, as we lead people to Christ, then the house of eternity, the Father's house, which he's talking about in eternity here, will be full. And so I encourage you, that's got to be the priority. That's got to be our priority. We're here, yes, because we want to be. We love God. And even as Jesus could have been anywhere else, but he was found in the house. And I will be in the house, and I'm going to be there. And I'm not, whatever happens, I'm going to make sure that I am in the house, and I'm loving the house. I'm loving my church. I'm loving my brothers and sisters. And when I'm in the house, I'm not going to be disconnected from God or from other people, because it's a place of relationship. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure that my heart is open to God, and I'm going to love God with all my heart. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. I'm going to cherish as precious and value what God has given me. We're together for a purpose. And yes, it's a joy to be together and we love being together. But there is something that he wants us to do, and that is to see his house filled. God wants this house full. He wants this church full of people that are coming to know Jesus Christ, because he has many rooms prepared, many, many rooms prepared. And he's already preparing these. And so if your relatives, maybe there's a room there for them. I'm sure there is room for them. But you're related to them. And you're related to those who don't know the Lord for a reason, that you might introduce them to their Father in heaven. You might introduce them to Christ, who is the way to which they can know their Father in heaven. That's why we're related to our families. Look, sometimes some people might say, why did I have those parents? Or why have I got this brother or sister? Or why have I got this husband or this wife? Some people think like those things. And it's sad. It's certainly wrong if believers think like that. I trust that they wouldn't. But maybe you do have some family members that, man, you think if you had a choice, you might say, Lord, can I have another pick? maybe some of you got some family members that are like that. Maybe some of you got some parents like that. But the bottom line is that we're in relationship with them, that they may be related to the Father. And we can miss that, because sometimes they can hurt us, they can let us down, they can do all sorts of things. But we've got to always remember that. Keep that in focus. Lord, you chose me. Lord, you related me to them, that they may become into relationship with you. Now, ultimately, they make their own decision and they make their own choices. And we can't force anyone. And ultimately, we're not responsible for their choice, but we're responsible for them having the choice, to be given the choice. We're responsible to talk to them, to share with them, and to let them know the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that his house may be full. I want this house to be full so that his house in heaven is full. Amen? Is that your heart? Great opportunity around this time, around Father's Day, is a great time to be reaching out to people and to be able to talk to them. Make a phone call. Just tell them, look, it's Father's Day. Maybe you haven't seen him. My father lives in another state, so I don't get to see him a lot. And a couple of times a year, get to see him. But make a call today. Ring them up. Tell them that you love them. They might not even say anything back. You might even get a negative back, but that's okay. This is you. This is what you're responsible for. We're only responsible for what we can do. That's all God asks for us. So let's do that and let's say that. And Psalm 23:6 is a wonderful promise for each of us who've given their heart to the Lord. If you're here today and you've never come into a relationship with the Father, then there's a promise here. It says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. What a wonderful thing. Our Father in heaven loves us. His goodness and love follows us all days. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful thing it is. When we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, when we surrender our life to him, when we believe in him, we hand over all our sin, we accept the forgiveness of sins, we come into relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ, we have that wonderful promise that we will live with him forever. But I tell you what, don't you want your family there with you? Don't you want them there? So I encourage you, do all you can. You can't do more than you can, but you can do what you can do. And to do that with all your heart and pray, Lord, just give me wisdom with what to say, Lord. Give me the right words, Lord. Help me to find the opportunities, Lord. Help me not to miss the opportunities that are probably already staring me in the face, Lord. Help me, Lord, that your house may be filled. And that's certainly the Lord's heart. And so three times he talks about us. He talks about the precedence or the priority, how primary importance is God's house. Don't take it for granted. Don't get a bad habit of not going, but say, no, Lord, your house is important. I love your family. I love your house. I love your house. That's where I'll be found. That's where Jesus was found. Where will you be found? Will you be found in the Father's house? In relationship. That's what it's about. Don't make church any more than that or any less than that. It's about relationship with God. Primarily that we come and love him with all our heart. We hear the word of God and we're challenged and that we grow. And we love our brothers and sisters and we care for our brothers and sisters. So very important. That's the purpose of the house. But the priority is that it's a full house because the Lord's prepared many rooms. And let's be faithful and diligent about the Lord's business. Let's keep reaching out. And it doesn't matter how many times you might say, well, I tried it once. I tell you what, when somebody was in hell, and we gave them the answer, well, I tried it once. They would say, why didn't you try again? Why didn't you just keep on trying? I was related to you. You're my brother. You're my father. You're my sister. You're my uncle. You're my whatever. Why didn't you just keep on trying? Because the stakes are so high. We want them in the Father's house. Amen? So let's be in the Father's house so they may also be in the Father's house. Let's just pray this morning. Let's just commit ourselves to the Lord. Let's just stand and pray this morning. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that our Lord Jesus Christ is a wonderful example to us. So we thank you, Lord, that you help us focus on what's important. And Lord, your house is so very important, Lord. Well, this is the place where we need to be found, Lord. And Lord, we don't allow other things or distractions, Lord, that we're always found in your house. Let it be said of each of us, Lord, as we lived our life, I was found in the house of God. And Lord, I didn't allow other things to take over, but Lord, I was found in your house. So let it be said of us, Lord, that we won't make excuses, Lord, or make other arrangements, Lord, but we'll say, no, Lord, I'm going to be found in your house. I love to be in your house, Father. I love to be among your people. And Father, help us to have that relationship, Lord, with you, Lord, that we're going to worship you with our whole heart. We're going to pray, Lord. We're going to be engaged, Lord, when we gather together, Lord, even in our own homes, Father, Lord, that it's going to be a place of relationship, Lord. Lord, let every home here be a place of relationship, deep and intimate relationship. And Father, where healings need to come, Lord, in families, in homes, Father, I pray, Lord, for wisdom for fathers. Lord, help them be wise, Lord, in how to bring healing, Lord. Lord, with humility, with grace, with forgiveness and compassion, Father, I pray that. And Lord, even in this household, let there be no division at any stage. But Father, let us always have hearts that are for one another, Lord. I know that we have that, Lord. Let us guard it and preserve that because it's so precious. And finally, Lord, we want to see this house full. We want to see people coming into relationship. Lord, people that we know, Lord, people we are related to, Lord, we want to see them in your house, Lord. We want to see them, Lord. We cry out for them, Father. Lord, let us never forget that, Lord. That's what it's about. It's about people filling your house, Lord, to dwell with you in eternity, Lord. For those of us who have already given our hearts to you, Lord, we've got that. Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, who hasn't, Lord, I pray this day, Lord, they say, yeah, I want to be forever in my heavenly Father's house, Lord. I want to dwell with him. But Father, give us the courage, give us the boldness, Lord, that your house may be full. Lord, fill this house, Lord, that your house may be full. Father, we pray that now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.